This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It just takes some time. That's not this song. Ocean Avenue. Yellow card. Speaking of yellow cards, should they have yellow cards and red cards in football?
No.
Okay. I think it's kind of cool. Or flags, like a red flag, yellow flag. I know the red flag's a challenge flag, but like right. A yellow flag in football is like, eh. Red flag is like, dude, you're screwed.
You're screwed.
Out. Yeah. I like those saucy referees in soccer or football. I go up there and just like, right
they slap
face.
That card
right
up.
Right in your yeah. face. You know what you did.
Yeah.
You
they exactly slap that card up. Speaking of soccer, the Current play tonight, their first playoff game. So you got that going on tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, November 9th. I'm sorry.
That's yeah, the 9th, up. Actually. The 9th, it's their first playoff game in their new stadium.
Yeah.
Which, and if they win this game, they go on the road the next game. And if they win that game, they play the championship game at home.
Yeah, we got our tickets for that championship game a while back. So hopefully it is the Current doing that type of stuff. So we got that to look forward to this weekend as well. There's a lot going on in Kansas City this weekend, huh?
Duh.
My gosh.
Welcome to the new city of the free world.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Ben Maller's coming to town and soccer's playing off and football and landing and chicken tenders and bus rides and all kinds of good stuff.
We asked a question on the other side, 913-586-7965. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Who are you rooting for tonight and why? You all know. I don't need to tell you who's playing tonight. I know everybody in Kansas City knows who's playing.
This is
playing.
A big one. I'm excited for this tonight, yeah. Actually. Oh, this first Thursday night game in a while. I'm like, let's go.
No,
I hope it's a good game.
This is definitely 18-pack of Miller Lite going into the fridge, figuring out what I'm doing for dinner after the show. Getting it ready for tonight and getting ready for this football game.
And then at halftime, we all go to bed because it's a blowout.
Maybe.
And I hope it's a blowout by the Ravens.
But I asked the text line, 913-586-7965. Who are you rooting for tonight and why?
Yeah.
One, we have a question for Mac because he does fantasy football on Sundays. Also, Mac did after hours last night. You're doing after hours tonight.
That is it. Yep.
All right. Take care of my baby and give that show a new name, man. Get me away from that show, right? It's your stuff now. It's you and Drew's show. Keep doing your work, guys. It's good.
Appreciate
it's fun.
Man. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good.
I listen to about 7 seconds every night.
Good.
And then I'm
7 seconds more than I listen to, I'll tell you.
Jeez,
that.
Jeez, yeah. What a guy over here.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been doing this way too long, and I'm in the pitch.
7 o'clock, I'm in bed.
It's fair. But no, they said, would you start Lamar Jackson tonight or a Mahomes-Hopkins combo?
Yeah. Every night.
Plug Lamar in. Trade Mahomes, dude. Like, you're not going to, yeah. You know, trade him on your fantasy. If you
sell
have Lamar.
High.
Yeah, you can foist him on somebody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. High. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Lamar and Derrick Henry are on pace to rush for a combined 3,000 yards.
That's just disgusting.
That's insanity, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm rooting for the Ravens tonight. I want to present an analogy about the Cincinnati Bengals.
Go back real quick. You said that really fast.
What's
you're rooting
that?
For who tonight?
The Ravens okay. tonight. Yeah.
And why?
Because I'm going to tell you,
okay,
I've got this analogy for the Cincinnati Bengals I want to present to you guys, okay? The Cincinnati Bengals remind me of a cockroach, right?
Okay.
You've got to just destroy that
cockroach.
Otherwise, it's still going to be around. It's still going to infest your house,
mm-hmm.
and it's still going to be there at the end. I need to have them eliminated.
And they only show up when the lights go bright? And right? disappear when the lights come on?
Right. I mean, like, it's crazy. Like, Cincinnati doesn't show up, but they lurk and they lurk, and they're like, they're not going away. They're not going away. Would somebody stomp on them? And I feel like if the Ravens stomp on them and twist that foot and you hear that crunching sound when you step on a cockroach, you know, it's like, that's what I think needs to happen tonight. So I'm a huge Ravens fan tonight. I want to see the Bengals done. I want to get them eliminated. I want to get them out of the way. Because that's a team, if you let hang around, man, all of a sudden January is going to show up and the Bengals will be like, hi, how you doing? We're here again. I'm
so
like,
you want Lamar Jackson to be Jay, a.k.a. Will Smith's character from Men in Black at the end when he starts stomping on the, oh, was that your auntie?
Oh, yeah.
Was that your cousin?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
That one, I don't know what he was, but
right.
He's dead.
Like, they should eliminate the Bengals, man.
Yeah.
Like, I still have that PTSD from Cincinnati. I don't like the Bengals. I don't like their fans. I don't like anything about them. I want them eliminated.
I don't
want
have the issue with their out. Fan base like you do, so I can't really say anything about that because somebody was yelling at your children.
Right.
But I don't mind the Bengals. I like Joe Burrow. I like Ja'Marr Chase. I love that there's hatred with the Bengals and the Chiefs because it keeps somebody at least it keeps somebody to make the Chiefs honest. Like
sure.
It gives them some sort of fight. But Baltimore, Cincinnati, who are you rooting for, Mac?
I'm right with there with Bob. I mean, I
don't for Baltimore tonight too, right?
Yeah, I don't think
Baltimore's going to the playoffs. We know
exactly.
That.
Like
eliminate Cincinnati.
And I'm not really concerned. They've lost three games, plus Kansas City already has the tiebreaker of them, so make that four games ahead. So really, a loss for Baltimore doesn't do anything for Kansas City.
Right.
Like Bob said, though, a loss for Cincinnati, you're cooked. You're done. See ya. Goodbye.
Yeah.
That's what I want,
yeah,
man.
That's what I want. It's time to eliminate the Bengals. I just don't want them lurking in January and thinking they have a chance.
Exactly. Plus, if they are lurking in January, that means they're hot. That means they've won a lot of games in a row, and that's I don't want that.
Yeah, and Jamar Chase is, you know, talking smack.
So you guys sound like you still feel...
Short week, Jamar, the preparation obviously gets crunched down by a lot. Does it feel to you like cramming for a test back in school? Like, what's a short week?
I didn't study in school.
I don't want Jamar Chase anywhere near us. We're done.
You guys sound like you still fear Cincinnati.
Oh, that's the only team that I really look at and say they have a shot. Like, I don't fear Buffalo, and I say this now, and Buffalo wins their Super Bowl in November and whatnot. But no, because Cincinnati's done it.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only team that's done it. The only quarterback.
You don't think Baltimore can do it?
No.
They damn near did.
But they didn't.
I know.
They've had two opportunities in a calendar year, and the Chiefs won both of those football games. Joe Burrow is the only active quarterback to beat the Chiefs in the postseason. Get the hell out of my way. I don't want him anywhere near us.
Text line, rooting for the Ravens because I want them to put the Bengals out of their misery.
Right.
I'm rooting for Baltimore from the 913. This is a great conversation. We had it at work yesterday because my hatred for Cincinnati runs deeper than another game lead for the one seed. Neither. I hope the game ends in a tie.
Oh, that's lame.
You don't mean that.
That's stupid.
A tie in football is the worst result. It's the worst result.
What does a tie do?
It screws up the standings.
I don't want either team to win, so let's have...
I'm rooting for the Ravens from the 8-1-6 because Joe Burrow has proven to come here and win in the playoffs, not Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's where I am, right?
From the 913. I'm rooting for the Ravens tonight because frick the Bengals. I hope the Bengals miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
From the 8-1-6.
See, that it's a rivalry, guys. As much as people don't want to say that,
you don't
want
to see that, though. You don't want to see them get. You want to talk about, and this is where I go back to your take. If you've ever wanted to cut the head off of something that you don't like, it's to do it your damn self. Don't let other people do your work for you. If the Cincinnati Bengals come to Arrowhead and play the divisional round here and Mahomes and company beat them, that is a better feeling to you than watching Baltimore do in the regular season. That's why I'm rooting for Cincinnati. I want Cincinnati to do well. I want them to make the playoffs. I want them to get here. I want another shot. I'm not worried about what happened 3 years ago.
We had another shot. We beat them.
This is the best Chiefs team I have ever seen, and you've added DeAndre Hopkins to this team.
Sure.
You haven't had DeAndre Hopkins when you played the Ravens and the Bengals. You have Kareem Hunt. You didn't have them when you played that.
Right,
you'll have Isaiah Pacheco back. There's a chance if you were to play Cincinnati in the divisional round, you'll have Hollywood Brown back. You'd have Hollywood Brown, Travis Kelce, DeAndre Hopkins, Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt. How you doing? And I would love nothing more than to watch that game with Drew Nixon and be like, dude, I've been here all week. I've been here all year to tell you I want your Cincinnati Bengals to make the playoffs. Just so I can see the scene at the end of the Patriot with Mel Gibson picking up the hot end of the blade and going for that Englishman's throat and being like, now you're done.
Yeah, I'm not interested in any of that. I don't need the Bengals alive at all.
Even if they lose, they're still alive.
They're closer to being dead. And I just want them out of the way. I have no interest in... I'm not one of these folks who says, well, I want to play the best and beat the best. Give a rat's ass about who we play and beat the best and all that kind of stuff. I want to go to the Super Bowl. Cincinnati, to me, is the only team that I look at that I say, they could put up a fight and prevent this three-peat thing from happening. No other team in the AFC is that way. So if you can knock them off and get rid... Because once Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase start to get hot, it's going to snowball, folks. So the quicker we can eliminate them and get them complaining and crying and doing all that stuff and checking out and going to Cancun, the better off everybody else is. Eliminate the Bengals.
So two quick questions before we go to break. Do both of you believe that the Chiefs can beat Buffalo next week?
Yes,
in Buffalo.
Of course, yeah.
Stand on business on that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so then do you believe that if the AFC goes through Arrowhead, no one stands a chance?
I think
then you're rooting for Cincinnati.
Yeah, no, I'm not, though.
The Ravens are out, Buffalo would be out next week.
Their fans suck, their team suck.
All right. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
Up yours, Bengals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
wait a minute, it's not Get Up My Bumper traffic anymore. All right.
That hasn't been that for a while, I don't
Thanks
think,
for
has
listening,
it?
I guess. Yeah. I miss Bill Brooks.
Everybody does. Somebody asked me the other day if Bill Brooks was going to be at the Landing on Saturday. I said, no, I don't think
Depends
so.
Depends on what traffic looks like. Now it's Mr. Alan Carr, Derek, and David's dad.
That's right.
I'm sure they're thankful for him because they got to be in the NFL with their talents. You can let people know how they can be thankful.
They can be thankful for the Chiefs next week. Every day at 6:40, we're going to play a highlight of a Chiefs player we're thankful for. Then caller number 6, who knows who that Chief is based on the play, will be qualified every day during that giveaway to get a $500 grand prize at Hy-Vee. So we're going to give you a $500 gift card at Hy-Vee next week. We'll take a qualifier every day, Monday through Friday. That makes 5 qualifiers. And then on Friday, we will announce who wins that $500 gift card at Hy-Vee. It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can hear him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan on Fox Sports Radio. And it's all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty, where we're going to be on Saturday, Ben, 2-4. It's finally here. Everybody's been excited about this for years. It is the Maller meet and greet on Saturday from 2-4 at The Landing. How fired up are you to come to KC?
I'm looking forward to it. I've been counting down the days. I've been looking at my phone every day. Like, how much longer do I have before I go to experience the royal dynasty of the NFL and the dynasty of chicken fingers at the Landing. So like two great worlds combining together. I cannot wait. I'm actually going to be in town tomorrow, flying in on Friday, and then the meet and greets on Saturday. And then I'm going with you to the Chiefs game on Sunday. So it's going to be an awesome weekend. I can't wait. Now, I was in Kansas City years ago, but it was during the summer and I didn't get to go to a Chiefs game. And even if I had gone to a Chiefs game, they weren't very good back then. Like, they didn't have Mahomes, they didn't have Andy Reid, so it was a whole different animal. Like, this is the royalty of the NFL. I cannot wait to experience the Chiefs game. I was watching the game on Monday night against the Buccaneers, and I was trying to soak it all in. I told my wife, who's coming with me, I said, you got to watch this and know what you're getting into. And she was all fired up, too, and she's not a huge sports fan, but just the whole vibe, it's just going to be awesome.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, you're talking about a football team that's the royalty of the NFL. 17-0 is now starting to become a real conversation from people other than just Bob Fesco. I mean, we're starting to hear it nationally. When are you ready to jump on board the 17-0 train?
Yeah, so if they can get by Buffalo, right, that's the game everyone circle. You know, you win that game, and then it would have to be an injury or, you know, some odd set of circumstances. Because I do feel like the Chiefs, a couple of these games, they haven't played all that well, and they've still won. So, I mean, those are games usually you lose one or two of those, and they haven't lost one of those yet. And you look, and there's no obvious loss other than Buffalo. Like, that's the one. Every one of these games, maybe the Texans late in the year, maybe the Steelers because it's on Christmas, but the Chiefs will be favored in all of those games other than maybe the Buffalo game. But yeah, I mean, the other teams, like Carolina's got no chance. The Chargers are pretty good, but they don't have much of an offense, and you already played them and that was a low scoring game. So for me, it's not obviously Denver this weekend, but it's the Buffalo game next week in week 11. That's the big one.
Do you think the NFL wants a perfect season? Like, to, you know, look inside the minds of people. Do you think they want a perfect season? And if they do, are the Chiefs the right team or the wrong team for that to happen?
Well, if you believe, Dusty, that all of this is scripted reality, then you would say it is set up perfectly for the Chiefs to go 17-0. The Super Bowl is in New Orleans next year. It's on Fox. Tom Brady will be calling the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, part of the Patriot team that went undefeated and then lost in the Super Bowl. So if you believe in this grand made-for-TV moment, not that people aren't going to watch the Super Bowl anyway, but Tom Brady's first Super Bowl, and he ends up calling the Chiefs game, and they're undefeated, and they have a chance to do something that the Patriots couldn't do. I mean, it's all worlds combining together there. It would be amazing theater. I think the Chiefs are a good story. I don't know. Obviously, you say, well, if it's a big market in, you know, New York, the New York teams are terrible, right? So of what's available, yeah, this is, I think the NFL would fully embrace this because people, even though they say they don't like dynasties, it's great because either you like the Chiefs or you, if you're outside Kansas City, you want to see them lose every game. So it's, it works out either way.
Are you sensing that, though? You're obviously on the national level from us, and we kind of get the feeling here locally that, like, all right, it's time for this team to lose. It's time for somebody else, you know, from a national perspective. Are you getting that feeling? Or are people just looking at this team and going, this may be the best thing we've ever seen on the field?
Yeah, the first thought I have, it's really depends on where you are. We get a lot of calls from Boston, and the people that are Patriot fans really do not like Mahomes and the Chiefs. They're really annoyed. They're like, we couldn't even have a couple years without enjoying the good old days, the days they won all the time. So the people in like the New England states, I feel, are genuinely annoyed by the Chiefs. Outside of that, they're not an unlikable team, so it's not – There's nothing really not to like about the Chiefs. Mahomes doesn't really annoy people. Andy Reid's a lovable guy. Kelsey's a little polarizing because, you know, that's the world we live in today. But it, compared to the Patriots with Gronkowski and some of the Randy Moss and some of those guys, it's pretty benign. It's like there's an appreciation right now. Now, if they keep winning the Super Bowl every year, check back because, you know, we've both been around the block. It's going to turn on the Chiefs. But for now, I don't get that sense other than in the Boston area and in New England.
So tonight's, I don't know, actually, I think the next 3 weeks, you were talking about Buffalo. As of right now, the Chiefs are a one-point favorite, according to Vegas, in that road game. I have a theory that everyone's about to be upset with the AFC because it's going to be over, right? You're going to win against Denver this week. That's going to lock up the AFC West. That'd be three wins in the division, it's over. You beat Buffalo the following week, the AFC is over, and we aren't even to week 12 yet of the NFL, and everybody has to sit back and think, is it undefeated? Is it three-peat? This game tonight, Baltimore and Cincinnati, I don't know who's supposed to win. Maybe you have the answer.
Yeah, well, as far as who's actually going to win the game outright, I would take Baltimore. I would take the points, though, if you're a gambling man, and I am, so I would take the Bengals. The Bengals can't stop anybody on defense, but the Ravens, even though last week they didn't look like this against the Broncos, their defense is not very good either, so this should be a back-and-forth game. I do like the Ravens to win. A game, though, Dusty, this weekend I would keep an eye on, the Buffalo Bills. They play the Colts on the road, and you know that Buffalo's looking ahead to the Chiefs next week. And they're like, that's their game. That's their Super Bowl next week. So that's a dangerous game for the Bills this weekend. If you know they come out flat, they could lose to Indy, and then that would really mess things up going into that game for the against the Chiefs next week. That's a game that I would keep an eye on too as a possible upset in the making.
You know, Ben Maller, as we talked to him from Fox Sports Radio, of course, you can catch him overnights. But I think when you look at like this Bengals-Ravens game tonight, here's the way that I'm thinking about this one. I'm trying to eliminate people, right? Like, we know Baltimore's already getting into the playoffs. Cincinnati's like this cockroach, man. Like, they just kind of are there all the time, and you can't kill their head and cut them off, right? Like, it's like they're always there. Does a loss tonight eliminate Cincinnati?
No, that's the odd thing. I'm right there with you. I had already eliminated the Bengals when they got off to the terrible start. I said, there's no way they're going to make the playoffs. But they added that seventh team. Right now, the last team in the playoffs is the Broncos. They're 5-4, but they're going to be 5-5 at the end of this weekend, right? They're assuming something. I would hate to think the Chiefs are going to lose. So they'll win somehow. So the Broncos will be 5-5. And Indianapolis has Buffalo. If they lose that game, that's their sixth loss. Cincinnati, even by losing, they're still going to be in the middle of the race. Even if they lose tonight to Baltimore, because they'll be 4-6 at the very bottom of the AFC, there's going to be a team that gets in that's probably right around 8-9 and gets in the playoffs, which is craziness.
Do you like that, though, the 8-9 team getting into the playoffs? Or is it like, all right, too much teams under 500 don't belong in?
No, I believe you should be at least above 500. I remember when Seattle made the playoffs and they actually won a playoff game 1 year. They were under 500. And it's to me, it's ridiculous. Like, you shouldn't qualify. I don't know what you do because if you don't have enough teams that are above 500. And I read some stat that this is the most teams after 9 weeks that have six wins or more since like 1986. It's a very odd season in the NFL. You have a lot of really good teams and a lot of really terrible dog food teams. And there's not a whole lot else in the NFL this year. It's very, very bizarre.
Speaking of dog food, Dallas, your thoughts?
Oh, my God. It gets better and better. They traded a fourth-round pick for a guy that wasn't even a starter on Carolina, the worst team in the NFL by many people's analysis. I mean, it just gets better and better. Now Dak Prescott, his hamstring is like shredded barbecue chicken. And it doesn't matter because people still watch the Cowboys and Jerry Jones still makes money. But my God, it is Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong has gone wrong.
Not a better team to happen to. On the NFC side of things, real quick, while we still have you here, Ben.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Detroit. I watched Colin Cowherd's show. I'm hooked. I'm poisoned by the mind by him because it's just how I was raised on sports radio. But you know, between how you kind of deliver things, but the way he kind of delivers things, do you think the worst possible team a team like Detroit could play would be the Kansas City Chiefs because of their high electric offense? Maybe meeting a defense that's able to give up a lot of yards but not a lot of points?
Yeah, so if you had Detroit and Kansas City, that would be awesome because it would be a high-scoring game. I think Detroit would be able to score against the Chiefs. The thing about the Lions, and they have to prove their defense, I know they've been okay the last couple of weeks, but they got absolutely smoked by some wide receivers earlier this year, and I look at them. I'm not sold without Aiden Hutchinson. They can navigate their way through the playoffs. But if you look at the NFC, I'm sure you, I mean, we're talking about it right now, Dusty and Bob, you've seen the same thing. There's really only one team. It's Detroit. I don't take Washington all that seriously as a playoff team with Jaden Daniels. I don't believe that that's legit. Atlanta, I don't really buy them with Kirk Cousins. I there's so many flawed teams. Like a team like Philadelphia, I would trust them more than Washington, even though Washington has a better record. But as far as the question, Detroit, they match up well with Kansas City. I don't think it's a mismatch. I think that would be a close game. You'd have a very small point spread. Chiefs would be favored. And I have an issue. I'm a Rams fan, and I don't trust Jared Goff. I know he's defied my belief in him, and I think he stinks. In big games, he hasn't in Detroit. He's been a better player there. I just don't trust him. So I don't trust the Lions for their defense, and I don't trust them because of Jared Goff in a big game.
Man, I thought you'd be a golfer just like me. I'm on the golf train, baby. Let's roll this thing to the landing on Saturday, huh?
Well, I am all about the landing. I'm all there. I am. And by the way, if Andy Reid wants to show up, he's more than welcome to join us, right? Anyone you know wants to be part of that. All men and women and children are welcome, right? Well, maybe not children, but all men and women, all adults.
All adults are welcome. We invited Matt Quatrero, the Royals manager. Hopefully he shows up. We'll see if that happens. But we're looking forward to Saturday from 2 to 4 at the landing, my man.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to meeting you guys that are coming out and seeing you again, Bob and Dusty. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Recording stopped.
Oh, gosh darn it. Oh,
man, come on. You got to cut that off.
That's a Dusty Likens problem.
Is it? Okay.
I did it again.
You did it again, Dusty.
Spoiler alert.
Learn from your mistakes. So our guy Ben Maller, join us on Saturday from 2 until 4. We'll be at the Landing in Liberty with the Ben Maller Chicken Tenders. You can come out, hang out with us. We'll all be there hanging out and doing whatever it is we do, watching the game. There's a good one on. Indiana's taking on Michigan at that time, so we'll have that game on, I'm sure. At the Landing, they have a television set we can all gather around and watch, and then enjoy the chicken fingers, and then enjoy the game on Sunday as well with the Chiefs and the Broncos. And Ben Maller will be at Arrowhead. I'm sure he's banging the drum, I heard.
Yeah, right. You got to let, like, somebody else that's, like, you don't let Neil Smith bang the drum.
No, God, no, not right? At this game, no. You know who I would like to see bang the drum for the Bronco game? And this is going to just
Jamal Charles?
No, but you're in the right wheelhouse, Tomba.
Oh, yeah.
I think Tomba could never get that win over the Broncos that they needed, right? Like, so I'd like to see him go out there and bang the drum for this game. I think he'd be good.
Do they have repeat offenders?
Yeah, because Tomba did it before. I think so.
Because Clark's done it like probably every year at least once. Because he'll do it in the playoffs.
He owns the team. Yeah.
Which I mean, I'm saying like he's a repeat offender,
right? Like if he wanted to do it every game, he probably just go, I'm going to do it again. Like that looks like fun.
Just trying to think, like, who would it be?
Hey, Clark, can I bang the drum? I'd love to. Yeah. They had Mitch do it one time.
He had, yeah, because he had to, like, run back to the studio.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think it was last year. He was, like, talking to us about it on the show. He'll join us tomorrow.
Right.
I think it was this season.
Yeah.
It was either last year or the year before.
Well, okay. Yeah, it was last season, I believe, because he was like, yeah, I got to bang the drum, then I got to run back down, and I got to go do this. I'm like, okay. Because remember, Kling was saying he had to do like some play-by-play for a little bit,
game. But Mitch made it back, so I think he's done it one time. Maybe they, I don't know who is the perfect drum banger for the Broncos game. I just think Tomba fits for me. He was part of that era, like DJ, like you were on some good teams, but never were able to get over that hump, Mm-hmm. And so for whatever reason, I just feel like bring back Frank Clark and let him bang the
Dante
drum.
Hall.
Dante would be
the
good one.
Marcus Allen needs to. What's Marcus Allen doing?
Last I heard, and somebody can correct me on this, I'm sure I'll get a text, but the last I heard, he was living in a suburb in Illinois outside of St. Louis.
Marcus Allen?
That's the last I've heard. I don't know for sure, but that's the last I heard on Marcus.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything about him in a long time.
You really haven't. He stayed out of the limelight.
Someone asked a pretty good question on the text line since we have a little bit of time before we go to break. And it says, guys, question. Who would you rather have for the playoffs with Mahomes? Rashi Rice and Isaiah Pacheco, DeAndre Hopkins, or Kareem Hunt?
Say that again.
Who would you rather have for the playoffs with Patrick Mahomes? Rashi Rice and Isaiah Pacheco combo.
Those two together.
Uh-huh. Or D-Hop and Hunt. I responded and said, give me the vets.
All four of them. No, I'll take...
Going to have Rice no matter what.
Yeah,
but you could have three of the four.
Yeah, you could. And you probably will.
Yeah,
I just it's a great question. I love
right.
it.
No, very
it's
good
it's,
question.
It's, no, yeah. It's wonderful because it's like it's making me think. I like to think. I like to figure things out. I'm kind of with you on the vets. Right?
I mean, I like Rashi Rice. I think he's great. I think he's got the most potential out of any wide receiver on the team for obvious reasons. But man, like to see D-Hop and Kareem Hunt actually get a chance to have a playoff run for the first time in their career. I would love to see how hungry those veterans get.
Because that's a good point, Dusty. The hunger of Kareem Hunt.
And Hopkins.
And
Hopkins' last playoff game was against the Chiefs where they were up 24-0.
Yeah, don't you think, though, I'm asking because I don't know, but I would think Kareem Hunt probably has a little bit more hunger than anybody else on this organization's roster right now.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right? Right?
Oh,
like
there's no
who has the most hunger? It's Kareem. It's gotta be because he's trying to prove himself and make up for the lost time, if you will, here in Kansas City and whatnot. So
it all goes back to the DUI video where he's like, I could have been a champion. And he's in the back seat like weeping. That's why you see all of this happen for Kareem Hunt. He's like super hungry.
Right.
I think that's a good question.
Allen's living in Atlanta now, I'm told.
Suburb out of St. Louis.
Well, he was for a while. No, but he was for a while. People are like, he's living, he was dating somebody over there, and then now guys move around a lot. I don't know.
Apparently.
Rice and Pacheco give you more explosion, so it's kind of lean there. More explosion. I mean, Rice led the league in yak. I mean, Pacheco can break off big runs. Kareem can't.
I mean, to be fair,
Pacheco can't walk right now.
This is also incredibly awkward to say out loud, but Rashi Rice and Isaiah Pacheco have way more experience in the playoffs than Kareem Hunt DeAndre Hopkins.
That's weird.
And more
That's
decorated.
Crazy.
And more what?
And more decorated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Kareem, has one game in the playoffs with the bank, the whatever that team is in
Cleveland?
I don't
think so.
He was on the team last year, right?
He has one game.
Yeah.
Who'd they play last year in the playoffs?
Texans.
Texans, that's right.
They got boat raced, yeah. I don't even know if he played.
I don't remember that game. Was I drunk?
Well, it was a weekend.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Rice was close in the first half, and then I've seen them do it. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but I've seen DeAndre Hopkins is 13,000 yards for his career or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, I'm excited. I think both of those guys, DeAndre Hopkins and Kareem Hunt, those guys have so much to prove to the football world, to themselves, to their legacies by playing well in the postseason. So I'm going to go with the veteran guys.
And I'm not saying somebody from that.
Not that there's a wrong answer.
Someone says it's not D-Hop's fault he doesn't have playoff experience. I know, it's not what I'm saying. Nobody I'm saying he doesn't that. Have it.
Right.
Because he's played the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Right.
That was the last time. And you could say it's his fault because he decided
everybody have to get so into the weeds with everything? I mean, God.
He did go to Arizona for the contract.
Right.
I guess actually, no, he was
traded.
So, yeah, not his fault.
Yeah. Like,
but he did sign with Tennessee.
He did, but they offered him the bag. And at that time when he signed in Tennessee, weren't they kind of still legit? Mm-hmm. Like, it was still Vrabel.
Yeah. It was still Vrabel. It was Tannehill.
Yeah, still Tannehill, right? Levi's hadn't shown up yet or, you know, whatever. But
I'll
be honest with you, man. Like, why do people get so mad when people take the bag?
I don't.
Did you see Paul George last night? I'm sure you're an NBA fan. Mm-hmm. You saw this happen. Like, he went back to the Clippers last night, right?
Yep.
And they booed him. Mm-hmm. Okay? They booed him.
Playoff P, baby.
And he said after the game, he goes, I don't understand why the fans are booing me. I got a max contract in Philadelphia. The Clippers wouldn't give me what I wanted. They, like, doubled my salary and guaranteed me a no-trade clause, so I signed with them. And then people get mad at that kind of stuff. Like, I've never been in that kind of, like, category, like, where I hate on somebody for doing well. DeAndre Hopkins signed with Tennessee because they gave him the most money at the time. And it was a good deal for his pocketbook at the time. And when you work for a living, like I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, because I got 24 months left and I'm retired. Mm. And I'm like, man, that's great. So he set himself up to have that opportunity to be able to do that. I never begrudge guys for taking the bag. But at the end of their careers, this is what happens. I've talked to enough athletes over the years. There are two goals. The number one goal is to get paid. And then the number two goal is to win a ring. After you get paid and you don't have a ring, you go a little bit ring chasing. And that's where DeAndre Hopkins is right now. And I don't have a problem with that. That's life.
We're going to piss that one guy off that was mad about food texts, because coming up on the other side is Smash or Pass here on Fesco and Dusty. That is on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it, we'll get into Smash or Pass here in a second. I want to give you a playoff picture through week 9 that they currently have. The 5-4 seed in the AFC, Baltimore versus Houston, a rematch.
That's a great game. I'm excited about that because there's a good opportunity. You get the Ravens uniforms tonight against the Texans uniforms from this weekend. If you have not seen the Ravens helmet that they're wearing tonight, I looked at it and I told Dusty I need to go step out back for a second, man.
Yeah, like, it's a matte purple with a gold face mask and the bird, not the bee, the bird.
Yeah,
it's like, on the come.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is unbelievable. Hey, a quick shout out to Alex, Augie, and Aurora who are listening. They go to school where my wife teaches, Santa Fe Trail Elementary School.
Nice.
They listen every morning and they come in and they say, Mrs. Fesco, we listen to your husband on the radio. So we want to give a shout out to them. So the kiddos, they're getting raised the right way.
That's
out
awesome.
There. So good morning. Be good for your physical education teacher and tell her she's wonderful, because she is. That's my wife. So good morning to the kiddos over there listening and doing their thing. And you know, if you're smart, maybe your dad will buy you one of those Ravens helmets
What?
Am I the only one who looked at that helmet and went, oh, God, that is gorgeous. I want an alternate helmet, man.
On the gum.
And those Texans uniforms. What in the hell?
You look like that dude from Scary Movie 1. The second matchup, the 6-3 seeds, Chargers-Steelers.
I like that matchup, too. That's a good uniform matchup.
And then the
two crazy coaches.
Right? Yeah.
And then the 7-2 matchup would be the Broncos and the Bills. Crickets.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you think about that, you're like, the other two, like, get me going, man. Mm-hmm. Like, those are exciting,
really,
right?
I like those.
NFC side, 5-4 matchup, Vikings Cardinals.
Yeah, that's good.
Sam Darnold versus Kyler Murray. Your 6-3 matchup, Philadelphia versus Atlanta. Hello.
Nice.
That's a matchup of birds.
Yeah, it's the bird duel.
Yeah. And then your...
If the Eagles were the Kelly Green that they had last week, let's go.
And then your 7-2 matchup would be the Packers at Washington.
Yes.
I mean, that's... Who's the better quarterback moving forward? Is it Jordan Love or is it Jaden Daniels? Year one versus year three. Or four. And then your buys, obviously, Lions and Chiefs. Let's get into Smash or Pass.
Smash.
That's it. I love it so much. It's Smash. Like, it's just like the movie Saw.
I am going to pass on this food option.
I am absolutely going to pass on it as well.
What?
That's fine. Wait. Go ahead. Let them know
looking
what
at the
it
same
is.
Link?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
deconstructed peanut butter cup?
Yeah.
So you can put in as much peanut butter as you'd like?
It's fine the way it is.
Yeah. Like you're trying to mess with something that's perfect.
Plus, I don't want to have to make it.
I'm with you.
Well, that's
I don't
fair.
Like peel and eat shrimp. I don't like crab legs. I don't
oh,
like
I love crab legs.
Any of that stuff I got to work for, I'm out.
It is.
Yeah, I like all that stuff.
It says there is no wrong way to eat a Reese's, and the brand is honoring that on its catchphrases even more now. The candy brand launched a deconstructed peanut butter cup kit on November 2nd, which allows sweet lovers to fill up the chocolate shell with as much or as little peanut butter as their heart desires. Ironic. The DIY, that means do it yourself, experience was inspired by a viral post shared on Reddit. No point, no shock there. Last week, the buzzy post explained that every Reese's cup in the Redditor's pack lacked peanut butter. My entire 5-pack of Reese's had no peanut butter in it.
Okay, that's just not
yeah.
true.
No.
The poster wrote along with a photo of
Karen, go home.
Of bitten into cups, exposing a solid chocolate center.
Wow.
So Reese's said, hold my beer. I don't like deconstructive anything.
Where are you buying a 5-pack of Reese's? Aren't they a 4-pack?
Yeah,
isn't
that
the king size or is like the king size 4?
Isn't that four? Like that's a 4-pack, right? Yeah.
I will say anything deconstructive I hate because one time I went to a restaurant in Lee Summit. It was called Calavaris. They do a lot of pop-up stuff. They just did a Beetlejuice one and then they do a Christmas Globe one. Pretty cool ambiance. But I got the deconstructive nachos. Not sure why. I don't think
so. They just brought you like a bag of chips and toppings and you made them yourself?
Dude, it was terrible. I was at a table with three other guys.
Were you with Kling at that thing?
No.
Because he hates nachos.
Well, I feel like this is where my dyslexia kicked in because I just didn't like, I didn't incorporate what deconstructive meant. So like, it was so funny. They brought my food first and they're like, here's your chips. Here's your meat. Here's your beans. Here's your cheese. Okay. So here's your guac. What? Here's your salsa. Here's an extra plate. And by the time I had all that, no one else had room on the table. And I felt like the biggest ass in the room because I didn't understand. And like my buddy looks at me.
That should have been an appetizer.
Dude, my buddy looks at me and just goes, why in the world did you get deconstructive nachos? He's like, nobody does that. I was like, first off, why is it on the menu? People that suffer with this disease of dyslexia like myself, this is not good for me. And I felt like the biggest Richard of the week.
See, if
week.
I go That's out to good. Eat or I'm, I don't want it. I'm going out for a reason.
Yeah,
like
I don't want to.
I don't want to make it. I don't want to open the shrimp. I don't want to open the crab. Like I'm just not into that kind of stuff. Right? Like do it for me. I'm lazy. The deconstructed nachos, though, I will hit the pause button and say at least with that, you'll never have a soggy chip.
True, but I kind of like the sog.
Okay.
I like it when it's nestled in the juice in the bottom of the bowl.
Yeah,
we've learned that Dusty likes the sog.
Yeah. I love a little sog.
All right. Do you like wet popcorn, though? Because there's nothing worse than wet popcorn.
I put jalapeno juice on my popcorn.
Oh, my.
I take a fork and I have jalapenos. Two things I will always have in my refrigerator, jalapenos and tortilla shells.
Same with us.
I don't know why, because I'm just fat. I'll put a piece of cheese, like a fake-ass piece of cheese and a tortilla, put it in the oven, heat up just a little bit, throw a little jalapenos and roll it up. I've done it since I was in high school.
If you look in our freezer, it is stacked with tortillas.
Always, man. And I take a spoonful of jalapenos and I put it over the bowl of my popcorn, and then I'll toss the popcorn, add a little popcorn salt. It gets weird,
I had a jalapeno plant 2 summers ago.
It's great. They get hot.
Oh, it was wonderful. I couldn't find it this year. And it was I think I got it at Costco like 2 years ago. And it was already grown and they were already hanging off. I'm like, I can't mess this one up, right? And it just kept going and going. Like I had jalapenos forever.
Oh,
and I was putting them in everything. And it was good. And it was fresh. And it's awesome. So I'm with you, man. We have jalapenos all the time at the house.
71816, Dusty, we are made for each other. Everything you just said is what I do, too. Dude.
I have an idea who that may be.
You don't like soggy pancakes? Somebody says on the text line for the 417, only thing I like, soggy are my pancakes.
Yeah, soggy pancakes. Soggy cereal.
Ugh.
I like that middle piece. Yeah. Like, we all like a soggy cinnamon roll.
Right? You want the middle one, right?
I'm like, I don't like anything soggy.
You don't
right
want the
now
middle cinnamon roll. You want the outside hard ass edge.
But is that soggy?
That's not soggy. No. That's just soft,
doughy like, and soft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the sog is the cereal that's been sitting in milk for an hour. I'm out on that. Wet popcorn. Out on that. Nachos at the bottom. Out on that.
Yeah, nachos on the bottom. I think
like
I'm
if you can roll the chip.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Right? Like, I'm out. Not interested. But give me a hard, crispy chip with the cheese. Like, the deconstructed nacho really, when you say it out loud, it's honestly not that bad a deal. Right?
I think you said appetizer. Great appetizer.
Put it on the table for everybody.
Yeah,
take a little of this, a little
nacho,
of that.
Yeah.
And Jen, if we ever get that, put the dip on the plate yourself. Do not go dipping in every bowl.
One of my buddies, when he goes to the movie theater, he gets a large bag of popcorn. Him and his life partner, she too, will get a side of nacho cheese and dip their popcorn in the nacho cheese.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I could do it.
Yeah, I could do that.
Did you guys stop by the dispensary both before you came?
No, that sounds good. It's hot cheese and popcorn.
Hot cheese and popcorn?
Like, and I'm talking soggy popcorn. Like if you took the popcorn bowl that you use out of the dishwasher, has a little water left in it or whatever, you put the popcorn in, then it gets wet.
Ugh.
I'm out on that. That's nasty.
No.
Do you put crackers in your chili or do you dip and then eat the cracker?
I'll crush.
Those are soggy.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
No.
Yes, they are. They're soggy.
It's texture.
Soggy.
It's not
soggy. I got you once. They do get soggy.
No.
It's the same equipment putting the chip in the cheese and letting it just kind of marinate.
No.
I think he's right on that one, Bob.
It's not. It's more of a texture thing than a soggy thing for me in the chili. Now, if you put it in soup, that's soggy because the soup is moist. And the soup is very wet.
That. You're just an ass.
And
you
very
just
moist.
Say the word.
It is
Damn
moist.
It.
Okay. And you put that crack, you get that moist cracker.
Do you like Tres Leches?
It's all right. I'm not even
soggy lady fingers.
Yeah.
You like tiramisu?
No.
Of course you don't. God, I love tiramisu.
I love it.
Soggy lady fingers.
Yeah.
Do you like soggy lady fingers? I don't know if you want to answer that question.
Oh.
913-586-7965. Coming up, Tom Brady said exactly what I love to hear when it comes from that man. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
The Fan.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.